My name is James Blunt.
You have a record out, do you not?
I do. It's called Back to Bedlam.
Then we have the right person, so that's a good start. From your newsletter on the website, I'm going to start making up things in interviews now just to keep you and me amused. So let's make something up early on so we can stay amused. What can we make up?
I think I'd like to hold that as my own little secret as to what I throw in that is a lie.
Will there be a test later?
And not that I will test, but, you know, we can. It'll spot the lie.
Oh, spot the lie is a good game. Okay, here we go. Tell me a bit about the songwriting process, because some of the songs you obviously do share the writing with others, and there's probably a perception, you know, singer-songwriter and all of that, but you do give credit to at least one or two other people on almost every song. So are you officially a band, theoretically?
No, not at all. What I did with the majority of my songs is write them. And then when I went into a studio to record my demos, the guys who were helping me at that stage record them and let me use their time would say, you know, how about one chord on this song here? Or maybe why don't you just flip these chords around and you got yourself a middle eight? And that was a huge education in itself. You know, although the percentage may be absolutely fractional, the name is there as an equal because the value of those lessons as the notion of songcraft is huge. So I've done a couple of co-writes with some, you know, well-known songwriters. And I'm sure either you'll ask about them or if you haven't, other people have asked about them. But those guys whose names you may be reading, their contribution, percentage-wise, as I say, may be tiny, but the greater impact of that.
But it is kind and polite of you to give credit, because think about what Yoko just did, where she apologized to Paul McCartney for the fact that she claimed that, you know, John wrote all the good songs.
I think that was another misquote, wasn't it? But that's just...
Yes, indeed it was.
Yeah.
Indeed it was. Okay, you're beautiful. I've experienced that scenario at least a zillion times. Why do guys always assume that it will never happen? They see a beautiful girl and they just assume I'm not the one.
Because I think if you did go out to a stranger on the subway or the underground, they would just think you were a freak and tell you to move along, please.
Hey, can you give me some advice? What do we do?
No, I didn't get the girl, therefore I couldn't give you the advice.
So no learning there?
I do know someone who actually pulled a girl on a train who he'd never met before and married her.
I know someone too. My cousin did that. He met her on an airplane.
My friend's now divorced.
Okay, we'll leave that part alone. Now, the video, was it cold on the beach?
No, that was the last thing I was worried about.
Am I to assume that there were special effects that helped you do that jump in the water, or did you really do that jump in the water?
I really jumped in that water. I jumped off twice because the director said I was an inch too far to the left the first time.
Pretty desperate thing to do because you didn't get the girl.
Yeah, exactly.
You really did? How high were you? You really did that jump?
Yeah, it was just over 50 feet.
Wow. You use a lot of vintage guitars on the record. Are you a collector? Are you really into all the different kind of things you used? And tell me about the sounds that you went after by using different instruments. Because, I mean, a lot of people do it, but it really does affect the sound of the recording.
I write songs in the same way that I enjoy the early 70s singer-songwriters. That kind of golden era of Neil Young, Lou Reed, Leonard Cohen, Cat Stevens, Paul Simon, Elton John. And so I think, you know, using the instruments that were around that period, they just have a warmth and a character of their own, so I used as many of those as I could. Most of them were the producers, Tom Rothrock's. He just had them in his studio, and I just messed around, and I wasn't looking for any particular sound. I just wanted to find something that was, you know, for me, sounded pleasant to the ear and sounded in keeping with the songs that I was writing. And no, I'm not a collector. I have one guitar, and it's a Gibson J45 from 1966.
But it's from 1966. So again, going back, because we're sitting here about a year later, from your newsletter, you said you've just watched the countdown timer on the releases page, and the single says out now. And, well, I guess what a difference a year makes from when you wrote that, because you were kind of very hopeful that something might happen with the record exactly about a year ago today.
Yeah, my ambition in the first place was to make an album that I could hold up, you know, one copy and say, this is my album, this documents the songs as I hear them in my head. And I was, you know, over the moon to have done that. And then beyond that, I thought, well, it'd be, you know, it's really nice to make subsequent albums. And in order to do that, I need to try and connect with a few people musically that they will then, you know, tell their friends. And enough people will then get the album that the record label feels confident enough to allow me to carry on doing music as my way of life. And I guess, you know, about 100,000 people would have done, wouldn't it? You know, that's probably when a record label say, okay, we believe in you enough to make you to allow you to carry on doing this for the next and subsequent albums. So yeah, when it went beyond there, I was completely surprised and taken aback. But
so now you're sitting here today, and you must be thinking, wow, this was quite a year.
Yeah, it was kind of mad. I hadn't expected it.
You, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but did Princess Leia have a nice bathroom? You thank Carrie Fisher for using her bathroom for your for the recording there. Was that a nice bathroom? Did it have good acoustics?
It sounds good on the record. I'm very happy with it. So what do you think?
I think it's Princess Leia. How can you lose? I've always had a crush on Carrie Fisher, so it's one of the funniest ladies in existence. But how did that come about?
I just was introduced to her through friends of mine. And so she just put me up. If you're going to go to Los Angeles, you might as well stay with a famous movie actress.
You might as well. I don't think that's a bad thing to do. Okay, so what about Conquering America? And I think I've interviewed probably every British band in existence, and then I talk to the record companies, and I'm one of those people who does break records in America because I don't have anybody telling me what to play. So I just sit down and say, okay, I like this, I'm going to play it. And Katie was the one who told me about you, and we got the record, and I said, I'm going to play this immediately. But now there's this whole America thing, and it's always great to outsell, you know, famous bands with famous movie actresses as wives and all of that. But what about America? You've toured here before, you know, you have a great quote about opening for Jason and that you think that's just, you know, it's great and it's fine and all of that. But tell me about you know, how you feel about all of that.
I have no intention of conquering America. I don't think America wants to be conquered particularly. I'm not invading it and I'm not breaking it. That just seems really mean.
But what about the idea of that, you know, you obviously in England you get a gold record by selling a few hundred thousand copies. So what are your, I mean, Elton did it by just doing what he did, pretty much. He didn't really set out to do anything except make great music.
Yeah, I'm over here because I want to have fun. It's a big country. I know a bit about Los Angeles and New York, but it's a much bigger country than just those two cities. And I'm enjoying traveling around. I mean, this is an amazing place here in San Francisco, and I've never been here before, so I'm just very happy that I've been sent here. And I'm enjoying visiting places all across the world. And if I can, at the same time, play to these very small audiences that I'm playing to here and connect with a few people, I'm really happy with that. And it kind of depends how you define musical success. And for me, a great model of that is Cat Power, who, if you look at her chart success, isn't really a chart phenomenon. But then if you look at her musical success, personally, I think, you know, she inspires me on a daily basis. I listen to her as often as I can. She's enriched my life musically, and she can therefore only be defined as a musical success. If I could have a fragment of that kind of musical connection with people over here and elsewhere, I'll be very happy.
Live versus on record, are you harder live? Are you the same live? Are there things that you do to make the live experience a little different?
Yeah, it depends really where you're seeing us. At the moment, around the US, I'm touring with just me and my keyboard player, and so it's really stripped down, and it's just the core element of how the songs were really written. But then if I tour with a band, it's much harder, actually, than what's on the album. So there's two different things. You know, sound different from what we documented in a studio.
Two more things and we'll be there. Most interesting tour experience so far. What anything happened in the audience or while you were on stage, just something that you'll take back and you'll remember when you're looking back on this 10 years from now?
I saw someone in one song get off his chair and kneel down in front of his girlfriend and pull out a ring.
And really?
And by the end of the song, they were engaged.
What song?
I'm not going to tell you, it's too obvious.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's great.
Yeah.
Did he meet her on the subway?
I don't know, but the song says, I'll never be with you, so he was obviously a little bit deluded.
He was very brave.
Absolutely.
Technically, you were signed by an American label, were you not? And Linda Perry, you know, was the one who discovered you. And the Killers are a perfect example because they're from Las Vegas and they went over to England to become big first and became huge there. So tell me about that whole cross-cultural sort of thing. Because you were signed by a label here, but you were big in England first and now, you know, growing here. So what do you think about that? Because in the old days, you know, the Beatles signed to a British label, they got pushed, you know, so it's all kind of changing to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think it's a bit confusing, you know, people, there seemed to be a big difficulty when I was first signed about, well, you signed in the States, but they want to release you in the UK, and, you know, what are you and who are you and all these kind of questions. And really, it didn't really...
Were you able to answer either of those? What are you and who are you?
I didn't really give a stuff as to the answers to those questions. I really just thought we'll put the album out in either place and see if anyone likes it. It seems much more important.
So the last thing that I do to fill the hour, which is really joyful and fun, at least for most people, is we do a thing called a musical sandwich. And what we want to do is two of your songs is the bread, and then I'm going to fill up the rest of the hour with as many fillings as you want in between. So anybody that you've always wanted to play with your music, this is the opportunity to do it. And as many songs as you want, I will play them exactly as you ask for them. So two of your songs on either side to make the sandwich, and then tons of fillings.
Well, you wanted me to just choose songs by other artists?
Whatever you would like to play, yes. But first we'll need your two songs to kind of make the bread.
Okay. It's a shame I can't choose three, because I...
Oh, no. Well, guess what? We have an out. Watch this. We also are willing to do a club sandwich.
Ah.
We have... See, it depends on the artist. Some say, oh, you know what? I just want to play other people's tunes, but you can do a club. So give me three, and then give me whatever you want to do as the fillings, and I will play it, and I will send it to you exactly as you've asked for it.
Very kind. Let's start off with Hi. We'll go on to Goodbye, My Lover. And we'll finish with You're Beautiful.
And in between, lots of other music. Whatever comes to your mind.
The Pixies, Where Is My Mind? So many choices.
Yes.
Elliot Smith, I think it's called Alameda.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Adams, La Cienega Just Smiled. Pink Floyd, Money. Something by Bowie would be nice.
Okay. Just pick something?
Yeah, Major Tom. Is it called Major Tom? It is.
Oh, Major Tom's great, yeah.
Yeah. I'd just say maybe something contemporary by The Killers, Mr. Brightside.